Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
We switched it up this morning. We thought we would, give My Golden Tones a shot at opening the show. It's an invasion, Steve. It's an invasion that the Italians are invading Chasm Studios this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what's happening here.
Oh, my gosh. At least they're not Sicilian, right?
They were outlawed.
We're going to talk about the election, which is tomorrow. And I know that a whole lot of people have voted already. And we have telephone, we have Felicia Rodolini, who's the what is the exact title? President Democrats?
Yes, we like to call her the chairman of the Arizona Democratic Party.
Good morning. Can
there
you guys
she
hear
is.
Me?
Well, there
All
you
right,
are.
There we go.
Excellent. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm an abruzzese, so you're good with me on the show as another Italian.
Yes, that's why I mentioned it. That was. I'm sure we'll be reported as invading Sedona, and the troops will be sent at any moment to protect the Arizonans from this unsavory attack. But anyway, we want to talk about statewide politics politics. Here it is, the day before the most important election, certainly I can ever remember. People keep saying this, they talk and they qualify it very carefully. This is, to me anyway, this is strictly this is a battle between fascism and the USA that we grew up in, and the USA that we know, the USA that's made up of immigrants, the USA that is not the people that lock up children and tell lies, constant lies. And one of the things I wanted you to talk about, Felicia, if you would, is that I want to know how this culture of lying, Republican lying, has filtered down to the state level. A lot, much, at all?
Well, I think that what you're really talking about are American values of integrity and our freedoms. And the American values are also absolutely the majority of Arizonans' values. And we are seeing here in Arizona in terms of wanting to elect leaders who are going to get things done and who are going to stop playing partisan politics and that harm our citizens and Arizonans. Public education is a perfect example of that. And the majority of Arizonans, just like the majority of Americans, want to make sure we have good public education and that we want to have an opportunity for all our kids to have a shot at the American dream. And so I believe that the name-calling and the lying that is being thrown about is really detrimental to our electorate. They are sick of it, and they're fed up with the chaos that they're seeing in Washington and in Arizona under Republican rule. And the Democratic candidates are really trying to hold the Republicans in office accountable for their failure to meet the demands of Arizonans that want to see our values implemented in policy and in laws. And I think that it is having a big impact on this election.
But are people sick of it? Does the negative campaigning still work? I know I'm sick of it, and I know other people that are sick of it. But I think the negative campaigning, how's it polling? I've noticed a big change in Democratic, at least TV ads, are talking about working with both sides. Katie Hobbs, a candidate for Secretary of State, Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, is touting her ability to work with both sides. Kyrsten Sinema, the big office for Democrats, the Senate, is touting her ability, not independent, not Democrat. She's talking about Arizona. We're talking about, and so her ads are, at least to me, just becoming less partisan.
I would agree. And the feedback that I'm getting as I travel the state and talk to Democrats, Republicans, and independents is that they like to see those ads. Now, do negative campaign ads still work?
Yes.
In terms of creating fear and a need to go vote against someone rather than for someone? I believe that they still do. And that's why you see so many of them. And if nothing else, one of the impacts of negative campaigning is it turns voters off, in particular the independent voters who have become independent partly because of the partisanship, and they come to a point where they're not sure who to vote for because they aren't sure of either candidate. So the positive campaigning, particularly what was seen by Katie Hobbs running for Secretary of State and Kyrsten Sinema running for the U.S. Senate, has been very effective.
Good.
Because think about their job. Their job is to represent all of Arizona. Katie Hobbs' job is to make sure that all Arizonans have their voting rights protected and have access to the polls. Kyrsten Sinema, as a U.S. senator, is going to be dealing with huge issues that relate to all Arizonans. Healthcare is a perfect example of where what the Arizona voters want really rises above partisan politics. Majority of Arizonans, they want to see access to affordable health care. They want to make sure their Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare is protected. And those are issues that they're not seeing protected by the Republicans in charge. And so that's why those messages are resonating.
We're talking to Felicia Rodolini, Arizona chairman of the Democratic Party. I get your title correct?
That's perfect.
All right, all right. And she's been in the attorney general's office. She ran for attorney general in the past, and so she's no stranger to politics. We also have in the studio this morning, we have a local activist. Holly, you want to introduce yourself? Step up to the mic there.
Okay, lady. Sure. Good morning, everybody. My name is Holly Plug, and I am a local activist in Sedona. And the what Felicia has just been talking about, negative campaigning, and civil discourse. You know, I've been canvassing throughout Sedona, and I've been to Cottonwood, and I've even been to Payson. And
wow,
the lack of civil discourse is really discouraging. And if you look at Facebook, particularly the bulletin boards around here, the community bulletin boards, which are supposed to be about neighbors,
right,
about neighbors helping neighbors, have turned into ugly ranting.
Yeah, the Tea Party has control over the major bulletin boards in the Sedona area.
Real quickly, I do notice that
you
call it the Tea Party. That's all I'm getting at.
All right. So they call themselves different names, but they're basically in control. The right-wing extremists are in control of the biggest, most popular blog. So the blog's filled with people selling stuff that they want to get rid of and advertising things they do, but it's also controlled by people who are pushing out in a very extreme line, political line. You have a meeting coming up on kindness, the Rotary Club, and who else is sponsoring?
And Sedona Kind. Yes, we do. Because what happened during the primary, we had a local election on the home rule, was so ugly. And also, just in general, people are feeling that they can't really, that they've lost their neighborliness. We're going to have a kindness conversation. We're going to have a conversation about how one can agree to disagree in a civil way and stay friends and neighbors. And it's going to be November 17th at the Sedona Public Library from 2 to 4 p.m. And as you said, Steve, it's being sponsored by the Rotary Club of Sedona, the Sedona Public Library, and Sedona Kind.
And the idea is to have a civil dialogue about these disagreements.
Correct.
I hope this works, Holly. I mean, I think that's great to give it a try. We've had so much ugliness in the local campaign. We're basically Tea Party people tried to sort of take over the local election.
Not a bad idea at the state level, Felicia. Maybe some sort of a reconciliation, kind of like South Africa did.
Yeah, we'll be having those meetings in the month of November after the election. Many debriefs to analyze the data, to talk about party building and community building and mending any of the bridges that may have been broken through some ugliness in our campaigning across the state as well.
How is the election looking from the Democratic point of view tomorrow?
Well, we feel that we are in a great place. We have been running the biggest field program in the history of our state. We have over 400 active volunteers who are making sure to get the vote out. They are contacting right now. It's all about getting supporters, Arizona Democrats, to the polls. This weekend, we knocked on over 200,000 doors. And that is the same number of doors that we knocked on between July 1st and September 5th. And, of course, now is the moment when everyone is focusing on who they are going to vote for and making their plan to vote. We feel that we really left no stone unturned in terms of making sure women get out to vote for our candidates. As you know, the primary turnout was the greatest we've had, again, in the history of our state in terms of it surpassed 2010, 2014, and 2016 numbers. And we believe that that is because people understand that elections have consequences, and they really want the change, and they want the discourse that Holly and all of you have been talking about. I do want to put a plug in for anyone who hasn't voted yet to please go to the polls tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you have any questions or any concerns about voter protection issues, the Arizona Democratic Party has a hotline. It's up and running right now, and I'd love to give you that number. It's 833-AZ-VOTES. So it's 833-298-6837. That's 833-AZ-VOTES.
And this is for anybody that sees problems at the polling places or is experiencing issues at the polling places?
Correct.
A lot of poll watchers may have their own county chairs numbers. Maybe they've set up local legal hotlines, but failing that, this is a good alternative.
Exactly.
Yavapai voters in Sedona are voting at the Elks Club. I think everybody knows where it is. And Coconino voters in Sedona are voting at the Christ Lutheran Church at 25 Chapel Road. So those are the two physical voting locations in Sedona.
No, there's another one in the Village.
Okay, give it to us. Do you have it, Holly?
The Village of Oak Creek Community Center, 690 Bell Rock Road.
Okay, so those are the physical voting places. And in Sedona, I don't know about Cottonwood.
You have a Pike County building, and the there's a Christian church just behind Mingus Union High School. It's called Faith Tabernacle, I believe. That's where I'm poll watching, so I better go look at my letter a little more closely.
More than 70% of the people in Sedona vote by mail, so we're talking about a fairly small group. But the polls are open, and we'll be open tomorrow from
6 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, and we hope everybody will vote, you know, whatever your position is. We hope you vote for progressive candidates, but the important thing is that you vote.
We're going to give you the audio list just to make sure one more time.
Before you do that, if anyone has a mail-in ballot that they haven't yet returned, bring it to the polling stations. Do not mail it at this point. It must be received by tomorrow. So if it hasn't already been mailed, actually, since last week, it won't count. So drop it, go to the polls and bring it with you, or drop it at City Hall in Sedona on the east side of the building on City Hall.
Same thing at the county building in Cottonwood. You'll see a great big box, and you'll see vote signs that lead you to the box. We like it. Obviously, I hear over and over about straight, even at the bar, even down at Cactus Gates, I'm hearing people voting straight Democratic tickets because they're so fed up. Kirsten Sinema for Senate, Tom O'Hanlon for District 1, David Brill for District 4, David Garcia for Governor. Let me say that again, David Garcia for Governor. Somebody, I'm going to interrupt myself, which I do pretty good. Felicia, I hear Garcia is the number one last name in Sedona. Is that, in Arizona. Is that true?
Well, if it is, that's a good name to have if you're running for Governor.
I think that's exactly right. January Contreras for Attorney General. Katie Hobbs for Secretary of State. Mark Manoil for treasurer, Kathy Hoffman for superintendent of public instruction. Bill Pierce, by the way, made the Colbert Show. Does anybody else know this? Yes.
No, Bill, I didn't know that.
Bill Pierce was on Colbert. He compared Joe Hart, which is the current mine. This is a Bill Pierce. It's a Democratic candidate for state mine inspector.
Important office in all 50 states. We're the only state in the union which votes for mine inspectors.
We call him the legendary Bill Pierce around the Verde Valley and Sedona. But yes, he was on Colbert, simply because he's such a character. Now, they did show a picture of Joe Hart apparently after he got arrested for, he got in a fight in a bar, recently. So that the picture they had of the current state mine inspector was this, a bloody face, a mugshot, and then they had Bill Pierce and all his wonderfully white-bearded glory. Go ahead,
well,
please.
And let me also let you know that Bill Pierce has become quite an iconic figure amongst millennials. One of the folks I work with here in my company, she came, her Halloween costume was a bolo tie inspired by Bill Pierce and his iconic photo of himself in his bolo tie. So we are think that he has really made inroads with age groups, all voters, and we're very excited to have someone who's not only a character and a great personality, but also the absolutely most qualified candidate to be mining inspector. He actually is a certified expert in inspecting mines and would take that office to new levels of excellence, really protecting Arizonans and making sure that uranium mines and on the Grand Canyon are curtailed, as well as making sure we protect our family, our kids from abandoned mines. So there's so much going on mining in Arizona that this is a great time to get somebody in office who really, really will do a superb job.
We want to talk about Sandra Kennedy and Kiana Sears, Democrats for the Arizona Corporation Commission. Kennedy Sears, they're starting to, you see a lot of, if you're a TV watcher, one of my issues is I don't have a lot of, I do have a lot of friends that don't have televisions. That, you know, these intellectual people, you just want to pinch their little pointy heads off because, you know, because they don't have the same drugs that we have. They don't have the same escape that normal people have.
Well, there's one sitting here. I have a television. I just don't watch it, Mike.
I can't understand that. So we want to talk with it. That's another show. We want to talk about our local LD6 candidates. I got canvassed yesterday for the first time after 50 years of living here, by the way. Somebody came to my door and hung a Wade Carlisle for state senate running against Sylvia Allen, Felicia French, maybe one of the best candidates anybody has seen in a long, long time, and Bobby Tyler for state house.
So we have we've had good candidates before, but this year we have a full slate of great candidates for the state legislature. And we have a chance to get rid of one of the worst state senators in human history, Sylvia Allen, who's now pretending to be a big education supporter. Wade Carlisle is a very, very interesting man. He's pretty conservative for a Democrat, but I think he would make an absolutely great candidate to replace Sylvia. And then Felicia French and Bobby Tyler are running against Bob Thorpe. And Bob Thorpe snuck behind our back, right, Holly? Tell folks what old Bob Thorpe did. He set up a thing where we were, a complaint was dropped to the
Attorney General.
To the Attorney General about Sedona's relationship with the Chamber of Commerce. Basically, Sedona privatizes its advertising. You know, some cities like Flagstaff do it regularly. We have absolutely great candidates. And then, Mike, we do want to talk about Al Camino and Gene McCarthy running for the fire board. When I talk about the Tea Party and its clones, they are running for the fire board. If they get two seats, we're done. So Al Camino and Gene McCarthy, great, great people, very different politics other than the fire board.
A Republican, one's a Democrat, but they are united on this fire board thing. And we're starting to see, Felicia, and maybe you've seen this in other Arizona communities. For whatever reason, the Koch brothers' money, the Tea Party money, they're going after these local races. And I know this has been their policy for 30 years. We have Jane Mayer's dark money. We have
Nancy
McClain, thank you. The lady has been to Sedona a couple times. Democracy in Chains, that have cataloged and chronicled this right stealth plan to take over school boards, to take over state legislatures, and apparently fire boards. And this is what's going on in Sedona. And yet Sedona has the Democratic Perspective radio show, as far as I'm concerned, and other strong Democratic traditions here and organizations, like one of our contributors, Democrats of the Red Rocks, got to get that in there, fighting against the local Tea Party takeover of the Sedona Fire Board.
I mispronounced Al's name. It's Camello.
Oh, okay.
And I apologize, Al, for that. Al's a great character.
Been on the show.
We also have the Yavapai, and then let's go back and talk about the state propositions with Felicia.
Oh, yeah.
But we have the Yavapai Community College. And do you want to explain what the controversy is, Mike? We have limited time.
Yes. he says to the guy that, yeah, I worked at Yavapai for a long time. I worked there for 16 years, part-time. But, Paul Chevalier is running for a seat. Connie Harris is trying to protect her incumbent seat. They elect regionally. They're both from this side of the mountain. The problem is we pay at least a third of the taxes, or at least close to somewhere between $12 and $17 million on a $55 million college budget. And we're seeing very few services, many fewer services anyway, in Sedona and in Cottonwood at those Verde Yavapai campuses. The Penny Wills, the current president and the current board, have this kind of home office mentality where it's cheaper. We're running it like a business, and it's cheaper to have people drive to Prescott, which is the exact opposite of what a community college should be. A community college is an economic engine, as an engine for growth, for personal growth, for better jobs, is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to serve the people of this community. People of this community pay plenty of dough, and it's all going to Prescott Valley and their tennis courts and all the other things that
Democrats,
are going on.
Democrats, the Red Rocks, don't have an endorsement here, Holly, but Indivisible does?
Yes, Indivisible is endorsing Paul Chevalier for this seat, and so has the Red Rock News on Friday. They came out and endorsed Paul Chevalier, who has worked tirelessly for equity in distribution of the funding.
So Paul was on the Citizens Committee for a couple of years, got extremely frustrated because he figured out that it was a sham committee organized by the president just to keep people happy. Connie Harris has been on the board for 2 years, and I believe on the strength of her doing, I'm going to say, nothing for this side of the mountain, that is what gives Paul Chevalier's candidacy such strength, his campaign.
Let's talk quickly about the local ballots and then go back to Felicia about the proposition. A lot of times people have decided how to vote on most of the offices, Mike, but the propositions give them problems.
That's true. Yeah. I get more questions on that than anything.
Yeah, propositions and judges, what to do about judges.
That's
the
right.
Are the questions we get talking to people. So let's look first at the local ballot question. Sedona, two-thirds of Sedona is in Yavapai County. The other third is in Coconino County. For those voters in Coconino County, there's Proposition 417. We recommend you vote yes. It will not increase your taxes. It just continues the level of support to Coconino Community College. And God knows we need the best schools we can get our hands on. We also recommend that you vote on Proposition 447, budget override, will not increase your taxes. This is the Sedona Oak Creek United School District 9. Again, they need all the money they can get. This is not increased taxes. It just continues the same level of spending. To reduce it would be a disaster. Then we have Sedona Proposition 446 called a permanent base adjustment. We recommend you vote no. This is, again, the Tea Party thing. They've set, this is a complicated issue, but they've set the basis of spending about $10 million under current spending. There is no city in the state of Arizona that does anything quite that stupid.
This is budget for the city. Budget for the city of Arizona is what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Adjusting a permanent base adjustment is the budget for the city of Sedona. And yes, the Tea Party people that got this on the ballot have set that permanent base adjustment at permanent base adjustment. $10 million lower than the current budget. A lot of people lose their jobs, or loss of programs, but that doesn't seem to bother anybody.
And the other thing about that, too, is that there's never been a situation in the state of Arizona where home rule is passed and then there's a ballot proposition for permanent base adjustment. And were permanent base adjustment to win, they would because people say, oh, what's the harm? We'll just be raising our floor. But there is a harm because we don't know what could happen on a legal from a legal standpoint if they both passed. Okay. And we don't know whether a judge might say, well, the second one is more the will of the voters than the first one. So Sedona spoke very loudly about supporting home rule, and Sedona should speak just as loudly in voting against the permanent base adjustment.
So, Felicia, let's go to the state ballot propositions. Proposition 125, local Democrats don't have a position on it. This is a men's two-state pension plan, I believe, for firefighters and for police.
Yes. Some of the counties have taken the position, and the party has had actually two executive board meetings on this to hear both sides of the reasons for and against Proposition 125, and we felt that it was best to be left to each voter's discretion and research as to whether or not they felt that the Proposition 125, which corrects an investment issue and a payment issue on the public safety retirement system, the correctional officers retirement system, and the elected officials retirement system. And that's really, we've taken an official position of neutral on that.
And what are the two arguments, briefly, Felicia? Because I don't think people understand that. In fact, I had it a little wrong, and it seems like it's a more extensive proposition than I was led to believe.
The folks who are for the proposition include all of the public safety, the first responders, in particular, all of the law enforcement community and the system that basically, during the mortgage crisis and our Great Recession, some investments were made that were detrimental to the fund. In addition to that, there's been a large amount of payouts to folks retiring. So there was a correction that was passed through a proposition in 2 years ago. I believe it was Proposition 124 that related to the public safety retirement system, and what this proposition does is makes that same adjustment to the correctional officers and the elected officials elected officials retirement system. It does not impact the Arizona retirement system for folks who have worked for the state of Arizona. The concern on the negative side, the con, is that there are the types of changes are restrictive and could ultimately reduce the amount of the payout to retirees, and there's a concern that this could be a progressive reform that could touch on the Arizona retirement system. and is backed by very conservative viewers.
Felicia, I just got to know, we only got you for a couple more minutes.
That's about it. Okay, we want to talk
real quick about 126, 127, and then we'll let you go. 126 is the service on taxes. I heard going around social media that voting yes on 126 if 126 doesn't pass, there's going to automatically be taxes on services. That seems to be a lie.
That is an absolute untruth. There are no propositions or plans or even legislation that's been proposed to tax services. This would be putting a constitutional amendment that would restrict municipalities, cities, and towns and counties from making decisions about their own economic development, and would constitutionally restrict them from ever passing any kind of service tax. This seems very, very harmful to the overall budget of the state. And since there's no real immediate or urgent need, and this is really fear tactics, a vote no is the right thing to do, because it would put this very highly restrictive prohibition in place that in our Constitution. And
no one 126.
There's no need for it.
Right. It's a shotgun for a gnat here. That's another Republican fear mongering thing, trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist. 127. Certainly the one that APS is fighting.
Yeah.
We have a lot of yes on 127 signs in the Verde Valley. What's going on? What does Felicia Rodolini say about 127?
127 is an incredibly important proposition to vote yes on, because it simply requires the utility companies to provide a plan for ratepayers that 50% of their energy could come from clean energy and renewable energy by the year 2030. And the fines, the penalties, the consequences for not having that in place are minimal. And the scare tactics, predominantly pushed by APS, who made, is it $428 million in profit last year, is really because they will not spend the time, the investment, to do what they need to do to make Arizona more efficient, more clean energy reliant. So 127 is a very important, and I think you all up there in Sedona know that.
Well, congratulations to the Arizona Democratic Party for taking a position on a controversial proposition. That's good. So yes on 127, no on 126. 305, we got no here. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a huge no. And this is such a travesty and a threat on our public education. No on 305 is, to me, the most important vote that we can cast in this election cycle, more than anything else. 305 creates a voucher system, not a choice system for public education. Every family, every parent already has the choices they need to make to where they want to send their kid to school. But 305 turns a voucher system that was designed for special needs children and making it a priority for special needs children to be able to get reimbursement for their tuition when they could not get the kind of education that for their kids in a public school system. The aberration here is that the Republican legislature and our Republican governor have manipulated that policy of providing for vouchers for families with special needs kids to make it open to anyone who just wants to send their kids to a private school, that they can apply first come, first serve for funds available, which take funds away from our public education system.
And 306.
It's talk about a lie. The biggest lie in Arizona that is being perpetrated on our voters is that 305 creates choice and is a good thing. It will undermine and begin the privatization of our public school system, and we must vote no.
Thank you. 306. Felicia.
Yes.
Did we lose you? How about Proposition 306?
306.
Clean elections.
Yes. Basically, an attempt to create more restrictions and less, and make the clean election system less desirable for our candidates. And again, the clean election system is designed to take dirty money, to take lobbyist money, special interest money out of politics, and put our candidates in a position where they can really speak to the people and focus on what the needs of the people are. And so anything that makes clean election system less desirable, less effective as a choice for candidates is bad. And
well, listen,
should be voted no.
Well, listen to Felicia Rodellini, chairman of the Arizona Democratic Party. We understand you got to go, Felicia, and I appreciate the time. I appreciate all the information.
Thanks, Mike. Well, you know, I have this day job that pays the bills, and then I have the job, the love of my life job, and that's helping our party grow and be the voice for all Arizonans. So thank you for letting me have this time on the show.
You bet. See you soon. Come to Sedona. We'll put you on a mic.
Okay. Sounds okay. Great. Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye. Hey, Holly, let's talk about, Steve also covered some of the local ballot questions.
We can go over them again, Mike,
yes,
if you want.
Please,
and
yeah.
There are a couple more.
Add what
in
you like.
Coconino County. There's Proposition 416 in Coconino County about merit selection of judges, and we didn't talk about judges
before.
We
didn't talk about that, and we didn't talk about – people often ask us, folks, about what to do about the judges. And, for example, two of the Supreme Court justices voted on a very extreme and literal attack on the dark money petition, which had, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 more signatures than it needed, and they have managed to eliminate these on all kinds of preposterous and strange ways.
That's right. In Arizona, we have two different systems for selection of judges. For counties that are in excess of 250,000 population, the judges are selected on a merit-based system, meaning that the Bar Association provides the governor with choices, and he or she can only select from those that have been vetted. If the population is less than that, they're elected. And so Coconino County, that does not meet that requirement, can, by proposition, change their selection so that instead of having judges that are elected, they could be merit-based. And that's what Proposition 416 is, and we're suggesting that people vote yes on that proposition.
And that would allow
the
judges
to be selected based on their merit and based on a vetting by the Bar Association and others.
Okay. Right.
That's 416. 417, we mentioned before, just continues the level of spending to the community college.
The current level of spending, just like the proposition
447.
447 in Sedona does the same thing with the local school district,
yes.
Sedona Oak Creek School District. And we recommend yes on both of those. There's also a bond for roads, 445 in Coconino County, a $6 million bond for roads.
Okay, great. And we're recommending yes on that.
Yes.
Yes.
And
okay.
Then we talked a lot about the permanent base adjustment, which
yeah.
is...
Talk a little more about that, okay. Holly.
So we voted in support of home rule in August.
Sedona.
We meaning Sedona. And that was the citizens of the city of Sedona. And it was overwhelmingly passed, above 65%. And that gives local control to the city council to set our budget in accordance with our revenues. Arizona requires a balanced budget, so we will never have a budget that is out of balance. But it's the difference between whether we have an artificial budget that's set some archaic formula from the 1970s in Arizona, or we give that authority to our elected city council members. So the permanent base adjustment would increase this very low amount, which is now about $25 million, to about 36 million. But it's very complicated because there's puts and takes. There's money that comes in and out because there's some, the bond issues and other things which get subtracted from that amount. But our current budget is about 47 million and it's projected to be 49 million in 2020 when this theoretically could take effect.
Right.
But home rule passed, that would give us 4 years of local control. The permanent base adjustment, we would be the only city, there's 19 cities in Arizona that have permanent base adjustment. If we pass this one, we'd be the only city in the entire state who has a permanent base adjustment lower than their current budget.
Let's be frank, most of the cities that have it set the permanent base adjustment way above their spending so that they don't have any problem with it. They don't run into the ceiling.
Exactly. It's forward-looking, so it's supposed to be based on permanency for years to come.
Now, real quick, yes on 417, yes on 447, no on 446, no on 306, no on 305, no on 126, 125 is kind of up to you, and 127 is a big fat yes, 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 yes. A positive 127 on the solar energy for Arizona. Oh, Arizona should be a leader in solar energy. And
305, as Felicia said, really will damage public education. Yeah. That is very definitely a no vote.
Yeah.
Also, Proposition 306 is an attempt to bring to make money more important in Arizona elections, and it's already bad
as enough. As if it could be more important.
Well, it would also, there is a commission that is a nonpartisan commission that you can bring complaints about clean money to. They would, if this proposition passed, they would report to a group that the governor forms.
The Clean Elections Commission was selected, voted on by the people of Arizona. They wanted to take the power out of the legislature's hands for redistricting and for the clean elections. And ever since then, the legislature has been slowly trying to get that power back.
Right, chipping away.
Yeah, chipping it away. We've got a couple of minutes. Holly, announce where your meeting is, and then we'll wrap it up.
That kind thing.
Thank you.
The
yes.
Kind thing.
Kindness,
sheesh.
Hiding in plain sight is the name of our meeting. It's from two to four.
Kindness in plain sight.
Yeah. On November 17th at the Sedona Public Library from 2 to 4 p.m. It's going to be facilitated by Paul Friedman. Many of you know from Ollie, and it's being sponsored by Sedona Kind, Rotary Club of Sedona, and the Sedona Public Library.
And the intent is?
The intent is to engage in a civil dialogue amongst the people in this town to see how we can move forward in a positive way and think about how we treat each other.
If your juices have been stimulated by this, the League of Women Voters, Verde Valley, have lots and lots of activities going on, and they will continue, I believe, after tomorrow. Everybody's holding their breath for tomorrow. Will there be a blue wave? Certainly here at Democratic Perspective, we are counting on some change. We're counting on a blue wave.
If we were the only voter, there would be a blue wave.
There would be a blue wave.
It's really necessary, Mike, at this point with what's happening with the country. There's a basic decision about what America is at stake. So please vote, folks.
Well, that's it. And that's like Obama said, like other this is on the character of the U.S. It's on the character of Arizona. As far as I'm concerned, it's on the character of Verde Valley and Sedona. What do you want here? Don't forget, you can catch our shows on VBID.org. Please listen to all our shows. Lots of information from Democratic Perspective, VBID.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.